This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
This is Big Pun from South City, and you know I'm tuned in to The Morning Roast with my guy, Joe Spadoni, and Butcher Boy Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, Big Pun? Dude, he's on a European extravaganza right now. He's in Italy, he was in Pompeii, in the Amalfi Coast. He's crushing it. Love me some Big Pun, and it's Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky today and all week as Shasky is taking a much-needed break. He'll be back next week, and don't worry, he'll be at the summit. Oh, he'll get his Niner takes off. Best believe that. This segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. We got Brian Baldinger joining us at 7:30. 7:30, Baldy's breakdowns. They are back, and Baldy's sticking around.
Oh, heck yes.
All through the rest of the season, Sammy. All the way through the Super Bowl.
All the way through the Super Bowl.
February through Christmas, New Year's,
awesome.
Valentine's Day. Maybe
crack,
that's what I'm adding the same time. But we'll have Baldy.
Well, I would certainly hope so. That's why I asked Matt Nahegan to give us. So
7:30.
Shout out producer tasks.
And you can see his beautiful face when he joins us on the YouTubes as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You know why Baldy's the best? Because this guy is literally going to be swimming with the fish. Or I like when they say swimming with the fishes.
Swimming with the fishes, what?
Yeah, dude, he's out in like Florida. He does his thing.
Oh,
he's chilling. He's snorkeling.
As long as he's not sleeping with him.
No, not sleeping. He's swimming with them. Come on, Sam, you're talking to Paisan. Relax, dude. Relax. By the way,
I didn't know that.
We lost a legend of The Sopranos over the weekend, over the last couple days.
Oh.
Our guy,
Jerry
Adler passed away. He played Hesh on The Sopranos. He was 96 years old. It's a good life right there. 96? It's a good life.
And
he has one of the great lines in the entire show. It's in the first season, and Hesh is one of like the, not a consigliere per se, but he's one of the guys that Tony leans on in the show. And he comes over to Tony. He's like, Tony, and this is when Uncle Junior takes control of the crew. He's the boss, right? Or the de facto boss, if you will. And he walks up to Tony. He's like, Tony, he's taxing me. He's taxing me, Tony. Like he got, like his kid died. He's taxing me, Tony. I got to get out of here. It's one of the great lines. I'm not doing it justice, but Jerry Adler, who played Hesh, rest in peace. He passed away over the weekend, and just sucks. It sucks when so you start seeing those guys that are getting older and older and older. And
it's
serious.
Not fun.
I mean, 96. I didn't even like know he was still with us. So it was just a reminder about we're getting older, Sam.
I try not to think about that part.
We are though. It is. We're not that old. We're still in our prime, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I am, at least.
I don't think I am. It's all downhill.
Once you have too.
Yeah,
old.
I feel like that sometimes, Priest. I feel like that. But the Niners aren't. The Niners aren't too old.
They got a lot of youth this year. These rookies, like we're seeing
Brock
a lot
Purdy's
of this
in
youth.
His prime, right?
Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy might not even be entering his prime yet. His prime might still be to come.
Ooh.
Imagine that. Imagine if we have not seen the best of Brock Purdy yet. I don't think we've seen the best of Brock Purdy yet. I would certainly hope we haven't seen the best of Brock Purdy yet.
I teased heading into this break, why are we doubting Brock Purdy? If there are Niner fans that are doubting him and doubting the 49ers, I do believe it starts at the quarterback position. And what are the doubts with Brock? Is it because we've already seen his peak and we think he's just on the decline already? I mean, the guy's in his mid-20s. He's in his mid-20s. Hell, Bo Nix, I think, is older than this guy. He's in his second year.
He's going into his age 26 season, Brock Purdy.
So he should be in his prime.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we be feeling good about our quarterback then? Right?
This is when you're going to start seeing it again. You're hoping that the talent around him is going to be, you know, consistent this year. But also you're hoping it's going to get better as it, you know, gets built up around him over these next couple of years as Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch embark on the third iteration of this 49ers roster that they have. And unlike the past two iterations, they do have their quarterback in place now. So, you know, you got to hope that with what the 49ers are planning for the future. And again, as I cite this Albert Breer article, Albert Breer, who obviously covers the NFL at large for Sports Illustrated, you know, he talked with John Lynch about, you know, this, you know, call it a rebuild, call it a retool, call it a restock, call it a re-ever, what you want to call it here. The Niners, they feel very optimistic. They have the blueprints they could follow. You know, John Lynch said, you know, the Rams have done a nice job of doing that. They never missed a beat and stayed competitive. And then Buffalo, obviously, it helps when you have Josh Allen. But we've got Brock Purdy. At some point, you have to pay the piper, and this was the year that we needed to cleanse it a little, and I think it will give us some flexibility moving forward. You'll have flexibility. You got new talent in. You're out with the old. You're in with the new. It's creating this next new great era of 49ers football, and now it's just a matter of, you know, how competitive will they be when they do this? It's like we get triggered with this phrase. Are they in their own little two timelines plan? Probably not. I think they're trying to rebuild, and whatever happens in that process happens. Maybe they're good, maybe they're not. But overall, I think it bodes well for a good future direction for this organization. I think that's only going to be good for Brock Purdy.
Well, and what would be good for Brock Purdy is getting your guy Juwan Jennings back in the building and practicing. And is it the calf? Is it the hold in? Is it the hold out? Both sides are frustrated, according to Tim Kawakami of the SF Standard in his latest article for them, talking about Juwan Jennings and the holdout. Again, we're less than 2 weeks now from the start of the regular season in Seattle. Week one, no Juwan Jennings, no contract. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus.
Kane's legend.
Another guy that requested a trade yesterday and is now holding out. Jacoby Myers of the Las Vegas Raiders. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus.
The Kane's legend?
Juwan Jennings. Jacoby Myers, same age, damn near identical stats last year. Jacoby Myers for the Raiders, 87 receptions, 1,027 yards. All right, get that? Juwan Jennings, 77 receptions, 975 yards. And remember, Juwan got, you know, basically ejected from that last game. He didn't really get to put up more numbers, although they probably would have been identical almost. So pretty close. Touchdowns, 6 for Juwan, and then 4 for Jacoby. Very similar. Both these guys and their heights, I think they're only like an inch or two apart. 6'2 for Jacoby, 6'3 for Juwan. And they're both trying to get paid. They both feel like they are undervalued. I think Jacoby's set to make $10 million this year, which is a little bit more than what Juwan is set to get, a couple more million. But again, these guys want to get paid. They don't want to be, you know, slotted in with the, you know, the Darius Slaytons of the world, the 2-2 Atwells of the world. They think much higher of themselves. And I think Drew Rosenhaus, their agent, thinks much higher of them than those other guys, right? So they're holding out, they're requesting trades, they're doing whatever you got to do. Because when I saw that yesterday, when I got the notification from Rapsheet, Pellicero, whoever it was about the Jacoby Myers, I was like, huh, could maybe the Niners do like a little switcheroony between, you know, Jacoby Myers and Juwan Jennings? Not that they were going to do that, but, you know,
it'd be kind of difficult to do. I mean, again, with Jacoby Myers making $10 million and potentially more, and Juwan Jennings' salary is $1 million, just a shade under $2
million, it's a lot
and he's
more,
looking
yeah.
for. So, and again, and this goes into this. Everyone loves to talk about money in the NFL. The Niners clearly, there's a level of spending they don't want to do for whatever reason. Partly, I'm guessing, is because they got, you know, buku dollars they got to start paying to guys like George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Brock Purdy in the coming years. Fred Warner's deal, that's going to be kicking in next year, I believe, as well. There's clearly a resistance to spending that the 49ers have here to a degree where it's just, this might be their receiver situation. I don't know if there's more outside help coming, more outside help like Sky Moore. I don't think there's any more of that that's going to be coming there for the 49ers right now.
Well, right after that Jacoby Myers, you know, report where he's, you know, he requests a trade or holding out, whatever, this is posturing. They'll probably get something done, or maybe they'll trade him. We'll see. Well, there's a lot of desperate teams out there looking for wide receiver help, and Jacoby Myers was one of the best in the NFL mm-hmm. last year, for sure. The Raiders pivoted and signed Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 year, $3.5 million.
Can now, get up to $6 million.
Can get up to six, yeah. Yes, with roster bonuses per game and incentives. So,
but I mean,
$3.5 million for Amari, and we, like, if I'm a Niner fan, we couldn't do that.
Well, that kind of goes into what I was, they're clearly, that's how reluctant to spend they are. Again, I'm sure they have some money earmarked for what they eventually want to give Juwan Jennings, but that was when I'm thinking about, like, why couldn't the Niners be in on that? Like, I thought that's a legitimate question. Why weren't the 49ers in on Amari Cooper?
Well, apparently they were, Sam. According to reports, they were in on him, but Amari chose the Raiders instead of the Niners?
It's going to be a no for me, dog.
So why? I got two potential theories. I do my Brian Windhorst fingers here. Theory number one is obviously there's that spending thing I was just talking about. Maybe the Niners, maybe Amari's like, I want 3.5. And the Niners like, we'll give you a 2.5. And Amari's like, well, I guess I'll take that 3.5 from the Raiders. That's a theory. It's some reckless speculation.
Taxes, California versus
exactly.
Nevada.
Sure. I try to not believe into that. But the other theory I have, it's more football related, is that when you look at what the Niners receiving core is right now, it's not great. It's far from awful, though. So you're starting the season. George Kittle is probably your number one pass catcher. We went over this yesterday. Ricky Pearsall, he's going to be your wide receiver number one, but he's basically pass catcher number two. Let's be generous and assume that, what's his name? Juwan Jennings, which apparently that's not even his real name.
No, his real name. Well, I just was looking up Juwan, and apparently on his Wikipedia page, shout out Wikipedia because it's the bastion of knowledge there. Benny Juwan Jennings. So his middle name's Juwan, but he goes by Juwan, not Benny. I kind of like Benny Jennings.
The Jens.
It's pretty good.
Benny well, and the Jens.
It's also my son's name, Benny, so should I be calling him Juwan Spadoni?
Juwan Spadoni?
It's pretty good.
Go You're home an idiot. You know, when you get home tonight, just be like, Ben, I need to sit you down. Your name's Juwan now. And then just see how he reacts. I'd be curious about that.
You know what? I love it. Shout out Oakland, baby. Juwan Spadoni. Let's go.
There you go.
Let's go.
Anyway, so Juwan will be generous and say he's pass catcher number three week
Juwan,
one.
Man.
Amari Cooper, if he does join the Niners, he's basically the fourth option on this team. Then DeMarcus Robinson comes back. You're probably the fourth or fifth. Then Brandon Ayuk comes back. Now you're probably the fifth or sixth option. I can see why Amari Cooper, if he's looking to go to a team where he's going to be involved in the offense, I can see why the Raiders, where you're behind Brock Bowers, maybe Jacoby Myers in terms of the pecking order, might be a better option for him than going to the Niners and being buried as the fifth, sixth, maybe even seventh receiver on the depth chart. And that's, again, those are the working theories I'm going with. Maybe he just hates San Francisco. I don't know.
888-957-9570. Niner fans, should the 49ers have offered more to get Amari Cooper in a red and gold uniform? $3.5 million for the Raiders. Feels like the Niners, who were reportedly in on him, could have splurged a little bit more. Would that have shifted some of your expectations? Should I have done that to reward the quarterback, you know, that you just signed to a massive contract, the highest paid player in the history of the organization, Brock Purdy? You want to help out your quarterback, right? Hell, Mark Cooper was just playing with Josh Allen last year. The Bills was trying to help out their franchise quarterback, who they paid a lot of money. They had a rookie in Keon Coleman. They knew that wasn't enough. Hey, let's go out and get Amari Cooper. Now, did Amari Cooper do a whole hell of a lot there? No, he did not. Kind of stunk, actually. But again, maybe that's why. Maybe the Niners just think they're cooked, but clearly there was some interest. Was it Juwan Jennings related or not? I'm not sure. I don't even know if the Raiders move was Jacoby Myers related to bringing Amari Cooper. Maybe they were talking to him all this time. Again, there was history there. Obviously, it's the franchise that drafted him when they were in Oakland, you know, playing on the dirt infield at Alabama, top five pick. We remember it all. That was back when we were the flagship. Hell, Amari Cooper, sneakily, by the way, been in the league for 10 years. He has 10,000 receiving yards. He's been around a minute. He's had a good career.
He really has,
actually. It's like it's pretty underrated. Like, I think he's lived up to that top five pick. Some might not think that, but it's pretty incredible. He's got 64 receiving touchdowns. Pretty good career so far. I do think he has some left in the tank. I don't think he's cooked. But as you mentioned, Sam, he'd be a two or a three on the Niners. Probably a three. If Juwan Jennings comes back, maybe he's the four. But again, I cannot have enough talented players. And a guy with Amari, he's not big, Sam. But the route running's there. You know what you're getting as a route runner, and that translates. I don't care if you're 31, 32, 33. If you're an elite route runner, you could play in this offense. And he could block.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of curious what happened in Buffalo last year, because when he went there, I thought that was going to be a massive boost for them. He only got 32 targets, 20 receptions, just a shade under 300 yards there last year. And what I thought would be a system that would be very beneficial for him, having a guy like Josh Allen throwing to him. So I am kind of curious how much Amari Cooper going into his age 31 season does have left in the tank. It would have been a massive help for the Niners, I think, to have a guy like that. But clearly, I guess, the stars just did not perfectly align for Amari. Again, we don't know. It's a two-way street. You know, he has to want to come to the Niners, too. So I don't know how much of this was, you know, he just wanted to find go to a better spot with the Raiders. Maybe he just likes Las Vegas more. I don't know. There's lots of different variables that go in here that we just, unfortunately, we're just not privy to. And on the outside looking in, I see a team with $44 million in cap space that didn't want to spend $3.5 to $6 million tops to bring in a receiver for a team that needs receiving help. And again, 49er fans, I understand the frustration there, but I don't think this necessarily, just because they didn't get Amari Cooper, does not necessarily mean that the passing game is just going to be shot all season long. You're going to be getting guys back. You're going to get DeMarcus Robinson back after three games. That could have been a longer suspension. And he looked good. I liked what I saw from him in the preseason. If he's your third or fourth best pass catcher, I'm rolling with that.
But you got to ease him in now because he's going to be suspended for three games. He can't do any team activities. He can't be practicing with
the
team.
But at least he made the training camp, though.
No, he did. But again, you're talking about 3 weeks based. He's not going to be on ice per se, but he's going to be working out in his own, I'm assuming. But again, he has to be slowly ramped up because the last thing you want to do is giving him a full workload to start off the season. Week four, I guess it would be for him, and I know he's going to appeal it. We'll see. Probably going to lose. I don't think he's going to win that. If he does, great.
That does what, though? Maybe shaves a game off?
Maybe.
That wouldn't be nothing.
No, it wouldn't be. But again, I don't know what to expect from him. And then Juwan Jennings, who's dealing with the calf and also, you know, been holding out, holding in, he's been gone. You can't have enough depth on a team that is struggling for depth, Sam. Mm-hmm.
I don't know when Jacob Cowing's going to be back.
Over-prepared, right, than under-prepared always. So you can never have too much depth when it comes to that. Well, you know, sometimes you can. Maybe, you know, the Warriors feel like that and you get too many mouths to feed. But Amari Cooper, yeah, I'm feeling some type of way that the Raiders got him and the Niners didn't if I'm a Niner fan today. Like, really? We couldn't have 1 year, $6 million, $7 million? We couldn't have just done that? Really?
People are tightening their belts these days, Spadoni. Money doesn't get you as much as it used to anymore.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the Free Odyssey app, coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Sam Lubin in for Joe Shasky. Joe Spadoni here. We got Brian Baldinger, Baldy's Breakdowns, 7:30, previewing this Niners season. And that's a fact, by the way. The $5 has become like what the $1 used to be. Like, you have to have at minimum $5 for anything these days. It's absolutely insane.
You know the best sign of, we'll go to the calls in just 27 seconds. The sign of times of how bad it's gotten, like a Crunchwrap Supreme at Taco Bell is $8 now.
What?
It used to be hard. It used to be hard to spend $10 at Taco Bell. Now you just you breathe. You're already spending $3 there.
Gotta get the apps.
Well, what about Cheat Day Friday? I mean, good God.
It's a cheat day. Like, you get one cheat day a month now at this point. You can't afford a cheat day Friday.
I love all my fast foods.
I'm still going to go to Taco Bell. I'm just going to grumble about it.
They used to have this deal at Taco Bell. Shout out being gordito, being a fatty right now. But they used to have this $2 meal deal back when I was in high school. It was a beefy five-layer burrito, a bag of Doritos chips, and a small drink for $2. Dude. I would smash all those, and you get the free refill after it. Dude, high school doesn't get better than that. Doesn't get better than David in Fremont, though, who wants to join in the conversation. I'm sure he has a Taco Bell order that he wants to share as well. David, what's up, man? You're on the Morning Roast.
What up, fellas? What up? Y'all need to get away from that Taco Bell, though, because that stuff will send you straight to the restroom afterwards. But I don't care.
That's where I do my best work.
Right? I don't care how expensive it is. That's where you're going. real quick, we're talking about the 49ers and not getting Amari Cooper and landing another wide receiver. I think that Kyle Shanahan throughout his career has made it pretty clear, and he said it many, many times, that he prefers to run the ball. I actually wanted them to try to maybe pick up another wide receiver as well, too. But then I started thinking about it, and I'll take my comment off the air. If you got a healthy CMC and you got Brian Robinson Jr. and they're, you know, ripping off 4 to 5 yard runs and you're giving them, you know, 20 to 15, anywhere between 15 to 25 touches per game, you're going back and forth. You might not need to put the ball in the air all that much. You know what I mean? So if you have somehow can get this contract thing with Juwan worked out, which kind of makes me a little scared that he's going through a calf injury, because, you know, we've seen a bunch of people in the Bay Area with calf injuries, and then it can lead to Achilles injuries or hamstring injuries. So, but yeah, I just think that if they're running the ball effectively, they might not need to put the ball in the air, you know, 20, 25, 30, 40 times like some of these passing teams, because I think they want to bring back their old formula, which is run the football, play really good defense, control the line of scrimmage, have those, you know, long possessions that are like 5 to 8 minutes long with just, you know, running the football. And then, you know, if you have to, you put it in the air. You got Kittle, you got Pearsall, you know, you got some weapons. And then, you know, if something happens during the season, you know, injuries pop up, you know, you go out, you make some moves. But to be honest with you, I think right now I'm kind of interested to see how it'll work out. And I think that if we're running the ball effectively and playing good defense, we might not have to throw the ball, and our wide receiver holes might not be as predominant. I'm more concerned about the, and I'll take off the air right now, I'm more concerned about the secondary depth and the O-line depth. So,
yeah. Hey, Dave, before you hang up here, I'm going to throw a question out here, because you're talking about the passing game, and two of the big X factors always in the passing game is the guy throwing the ball on Brock Purdy and the guy calling the plays and Kyle Shanahan. We threw the question out, who do you trust in this year more, Brock or Kyle? Who are you just feeling better with right now between those two? Brock Purdy throwing the ball or Kyle Shanahan calling the plays?
Oof. Wow, that's a good question. Got to go Shanahan, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's his team, it's his offense. These are you know, some of his guys, most of his guys. I mean, they've had all the opportunities. They had the draft. They had free agency. They could have went out and got some more. I think that this, honestly, that's a great question, because to me, Brock Purdy's still got some stuff to prove. He's still young. He's still, you know, but he's the guy. He's got the tools. He can get better. Shanahan's kind of in that point of his career where it's kind of, he needs to either step up, in my eyes. You either need to kind of step up or step off, dude. Because the whole, you know, offensive guru and quarterback guru and, you know, great offensive schemes and all that type of stuff, it only goes so far unless you're, you know, hoisting a Lombardi trophy. You know what I mean? Ask all the guys, you know, like the Andy Reids and stuff like that, that got over the hump, you know. It's a hard thing to get, but if you want to get into that category,
yeah.
You gotta get it. You
Thanks,
know what I mean?
David. So, no, it's a great call. That's David in Fremont, courtesy of River Islands, as all guests of 95.7 The Game of PR on the River Islands guest line. It's time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop. No, I love David, and that's a great...
Broke it down pretty well, actually.
He did, but, and I'm in agreement with him, because I teased it, and I didn't give my answer, because, you know, I like to tease even my own answers. That's what we do here on the Morning Roast. It's the morning tease. I trust Shanahan more than I trust Brock Purdy right now. I trust that Shanahan will put Brock in a position to succeed more than I trust Brock right now to execute said game plan. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see that, especially after we saw last year. Yeah. Again, as we mentioned, there were times last year where, again, Brock kind of becomes his own worst enemy when he tries to force plays, to big plays to happen. And that's where he was bit a lot last year. So I can understand why you would feel that way.
And who do you trust more right now heading into the season, Niner fans? Is it Brock Purdy orchestrating the offense, or is it Kyle Shanahan trying to put Brock Purdy in the best position to succeed? 888-957-9570. Because there's some disconnect right now when it comes to this season and Niner fans and their feeling and some trepidation. And I do think the addition, as David and Fremont was alluding to, of Brian Robinson Jr. is going to be massive for this team.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive.
And Dave mentioned something there on his call there where kind of downplaying the concerns about the wide receiver depth or lack thereof, so to speak. This is a run-first team, especially yes. Now with McCaffrey and Brian Robinson Jr. on board. We know Kyle likes to hit that 30 carry plateau. And the more they can run the ball and the less they can throw the ball, I think that will be better for Brock and this team overall. Spinone, you know what the Niners' record is when Brock Purdy throws the ball at least 30 times in a game?
You want to tease it?
Sure.
There you go. That's a tease right there. So if the 49ers are going to turn into a throw-first team, might not be the best thing, I think, as Sam would.
Well, it's okay in sometimes.
Oh, it's okay sometimes. All right. Well, that's another tease for you right there. But the biggest tease of all is Brian Baldinger coming up on the other side. 7:30, Baldy Breakdown. Shark Week on a Tuesday here. Sam Lubman, Joe Spadoni, and it's brought to you by Safeway.
I want to thank you guys, Shasky, and I listen to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
Wow. You know, I got a producer in there. You know what he just uttered into my ear? Carter Chickering.
He was just it said, today's over-under for the
no,
Giants?
He just said, act like you care.
Just act.
No, he gets nervous because he thinks as
dude's
he gets to rejoin.
Mask back there.
He's playing the music. He's immunized. He's good now.
He cares about his health.
He's a high-level loser,
him
bro.
And throw him and Throw Rogan.
He wants to be healthy.
He's
responsible.
You know, he gets nervous. He's banging on the glass like I don't hear the rejoin music. Spoiler alert, I do. I don't know if you know this, Carter. I used to do a solo show for like a couple of years by myself in here. So I had to do it all.
I didn't know that.
I do it all from literally in here. Sam helped me out occasionally.
So
and I appreciate it. He had to screen the calls at times. But sometimes when he wasn't here, you know what I'd do? I'd take the calls blind. I'd say, let's go to so-and-so who's waiting on hold. And they didn't even know if it was them.
Shut up.
They didn't even know. So I'm built for this, Carter. Get on my level, okay? I actually don't jerk it as much as Steiny does. Can't confirm that. Can't confirm that. I did grow up in an age where it... I'm just going to leave it.
Let's not go at those kind of ages right
here.
We
got Baldy coming up in 12 minutes. Brian Baldinger, Baldy Breakdowns. Can't wait to talk all things red and gold with Baldy and maybe touch some of the top storylines around the league. I wonder if Baldy's a Love Island guy, though, because the Love Island reunion was last night on Peacock. It was okay. It was okay.
You're saying words I assume they have meaning.
Well, it's a big deal, Sam. It was the most streamed show of the summer, Love Island, and the reunion was yesterday on
Peacock. Are they just not streaming other shows?
No, it was just dominated everything. If it was a sports reference, it would be, you know, the Warriors with KD. It dominated this summer, like Kevin Durant with the Warriors.
So it's ruining the NBA?
Well, you know what's ruining everything in Love Island yesterday for me? It was Ace and Shelley. I'm just out on them as a couple, as anything. I'm just so done with them. Austin was funny. I'm
Austin.
Still in on Nicolandria, the couple. That's what they're called. It's Nick and Alandria. They call them Nicolandria. In on them. I also realized that Hannah, one of the contestants this summer, she went to Monterey High School, but in my neck of the woods where I grew up. So there you go. The more you know.
Same grade?
Hannah. No, because she's like in her early 20s. Like most of these people are in their early 20s in the show. And
that's the most responsible.
Huda, still out on Huda. Who cares? Huda, there you go. And thus concludes
Huda
my
man,
Love
Huda
Island
man.
Reunion takes, because I know all of you care so much about it. And the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorney text line. You can also weigh in on your Love Island reunion takes if you'd like. 888-957-9570. We're talking about Brock Purdy throwing the ball more potentially this year. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, they brought in Brian Robinson Jr., Sam. It's going to be a run-first offense. We know that with Kyle Shanahan. We got a healthy Christian McCaffrey. So there should be some positives alone there. We didn't have Christian McCaffrey to start off the season last year, Sam. We're going to have that. If I'm a 49er fan, I'm feeling pretty good about that. Now, the Juwan Jennings thing, we'll see. You know, signing Amari Cooper and Amari Cooper going to the Raiders. If I'm a Niner fan right now, I was like, really? I'd feel a lot better if we had Amari Cooper right now than if we didn't, and we don't. But you had a stat that you teased about Brock Purdy.
I got a stat that not even Brock Purdy knows about.
There you go.
As I get my inner Chris Townsend
That's
on.
A three.
So David Fremont called in last segment. He said, you know, with Chris McCaffrey back
We're
and Brian Robinson
that David
Jr.
Fremont
on.
Fremont call all show long.
Well, hey, when you come in throwing, you know, the smoke like he was, you're going to be using the content that you create. But he brought up a good point about how the Niners obviously being a run-first team. Duh, we know that. And we do know that Kyle loves to hit that 30 carries mark. We went into great length yesterday, talk about how we want that to look. Basically, with Brian Robinson Jr. on board, you can give him about 10 carries a game, take that load off Christian McCaffrey, and you should be able to get to 30 carries a game without running your prize running back into the dirt. which means that you would, in theory, have to throw the ball not as much. So in his career, Brock Purdy, when he has to throw the ball 30 or more times, he is 5-10 in the regular season when he has to throw the ball 30 or more times. 1-7 last year when these guys had to throw the ball at least 30 or more times. That one win coming in Tampa, the infamous Jake Moody game where he got chopped and then made the game-winning field goal.
That's right. Though the wind was swirling that day. The winds were insane.
Well, there's a lot of fans moving behind the goalpost too, which I think threw him off as well.
People moving the goalpost on his stats.
There
continue.
We go. But conversely, he's 3-1 in the playoffs when throwing the ball 30 or more times. So that's why it's not a great stat, but sometimes it is a good stat. So I don't know really what to make of the 3-1 of the playoffs, but last year I kind of, you know, went through all those games when Brock threw at least, you know, 30 times and tried to figure out, you know, how much was on him, how much wasn't. There was a lot of those games where when you're throwing a lot like that, it's because you're trying to, you know, score quickly. You're trying to move downfield quickly. That's what passing does, a great way to cover long distances over a short period of time. And there's a lot of those games where, you know, like the Minnesota game, the Arizona game. There was also the Minnesota game, that first Cardinals game, even the Rams game. There was that rainy Rams game where just a lot of times the defense just wasn't getting you stops when you needed it, and that kind of puts you behind the eight ball, force you to throw a little bit more.
That was easily his worst game of the year. I'm looking at that. 14-31 for 142 yards. It was a slog.
Sorry, I'm getting the Rams. There's the first Rams game, too, where you had some shoddy defense there. You had some shoddy special teams in that one. You had the infamous Ronnie Bell drop in that one. Mm. That second Rams game, you had the infamous Debo off the gut drop as well. Mm. Those were very costly errors there that, by and large, Brock really had no say in. The end of the Arizona game, I mentioned earlier, Colt McKivitz whiffs a block there. Brock gets drilled, throws the game-sealing interception. And I remember this is a question I asked Baldy about last on Christmas Eve last year when I was doing the show with Jake Hutchinson. Like, how do you account for that? And maybe if you want to go back and pull his answer, I'm throwing you guys on the spot here. Baldy on December 24th of last year.
Oh, basically, Christmas Eve.
Basically, he just kind of said, like, you know, it's not on the quarterback, but it basically is on the quarterback. So, you know, that these are going to be the responsibilities Brock has this year. It's kind of one of those, like, I don't care that you're in a tough situation because of the defense. You know, you might be in a tough situation because you didn't execute on a drive earlier in that game. You know, there was, let's see, I believe it was the Cardinals game where they had, you know, they came up short on a fourth and long because Brock had a bad sack, then a couple bad incompletions there. Maybe you come through on that drive, you're not in that hole come the fourth quarter there. So these are the new ways that I think we're going to be judging Brock Purdy this year in terms of it's just being a pass or fail. You can't just blame your teammates anymore when things don't come up. Now it's a matter of you got to find ways in different parts of the game to come through so that later in the game it's not as, you know, you're not at risk of one thing kind of swinging the game one way or the other.
Are we going to be box score watching Brock Purdy this season, Niner fans? Or are we judging him solely off wins and losses? How are we grading this year for Brock Purdy? Because he is set in stone. He's the highest paid player in the history of the franchise. He's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's sticking around. So for as much as we wanted to hammer the stats, oh, look what he didn't do here. Look what he didn't do there. Like, it's about wins and losses at this point, Sam. That's where I'm at. Like, that's when you know you have your quarterback. You're judging them off wins and losses. How are they judging Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City? Do you think they care if he throws three picks in a game?
No.
Kansas City, they don't care.
I mean, you look at what he did last year. It was, he had a, by his own right, a down year. And that's because Patrick Mahomes, he's, as we say, he's in the side quest part of his life. The only number that matters in his career is whatever number is next to the Lombardi Trophy count.
Do you think that the Bengals, the Ravens, the Bills care about regular season stats for their quarterbacks or whether they win the game or not?
I mean, at this point, for those teams, there's only one number that matters, and that is the number in the scoreboard against the Chiefs and hoping that that number is bigger than the Chiefs' number.
That's how I'm looking at this season. I'm looking at it at wins or losses. And yes, wins are not a quarterback stat, but they can be very telling. Again, it used to drive me nuts on these airwaves, and that would be the talking point with a former quarterback here in the Bay, one Jimmy Garoppolo. And it was, oh, they win. Jimmy's a winner. The amount of times we had to compare him versus Derek Carr and the organizations. Mm-hmm. See, Derek Carr is not a winner. He's a loser.
His players don't go to bat for him like they do with Jimmy.
See, I think if you if you put Derek Carr on the Niners, I think they're almost the same team. I do believe that. Hell, I think maybe they would have been a little better because Derek Carr's arm's a little bit better than Jimmy Garoppolo's. Now, who's the tougher quarterback? I think Jimmy might be a little tougher than him. I think he gets up a little bit more. He takes a little bit more punishment. But again, there's more medicine balls being thrown.
They're two sides of the same coin.
It just drives me nuts.
Where one is good, the other is bad. Where one is bad, the other is good.
Yes, and it just drove me nuts talking about wins and losses in that regard because it didn't tell the full story of the actual quarterback in the game itself. I do think Brock is a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. He has had infinitely his best season blows Jimmy Garoppolo's best season out of the water. He was a legit MVP candidate. We were talking about Brock maybe being the leader in the clubhouse up until that Christmas matchup against the Baltimore Ravens.
When he
wet the bed. Lamar Jackson didn't. I mean, the ref tripped Lamar Jackson. I'll never forget that.
Tried to help us.
It was me and you talking to Baldy, I think, the day after that or a couple days after that game.
I think it was the week after. I actually almost blew up the station that day because I got sick that day.
Oh, you almost infected everyone?
No. Like, I was basically going to do the morning show and then board off the midday show, and then I got sick the last second, and Nahegan had to come in and basically do everything for me.
Shout out Matt Nahegan, jack of all trades, master.
Been there, done that.
There you go. Well, there you go. But again, that's what we're talking about.
You bring up an interesting point there because we're going to be judging Brock off the wins and losses. That's what matters most. But then at the same time, we didn't like to do that for Jimmy here. Why? And maybe we can pick this up on the other side after we talk to Baldy here.
No, that's not true. Well, I didn't do that for Jimmy. People did, though. Well, okay, People use that as an argument.
But we could use wins and losses. Well, I'm not just trying to come down your road on this. Let's just, I want to kind of take
a
step back.
You think I'm contradicting myself a little bit?
No. I want to get a sense of lay of the land here. You know, is it, you know, why did the wins and losses for Brock matter when maybe they didn't for Jimmy? I'm not maybe asking like why you look at it that way, but like, why are we in that situation now where we were reluctant to point at the wins and losses for Jimmy, but maybe now we're more open to point at the wins and losses for
Brock? If we're using an analogy here, I'll go like an orchestra, if you will. There's a conductor of said orchestra that makes sure everything is up to snuff. Okay. That's going to be the quarterback in this analogy. All right. Jimmy was not the conductor of the San Francisco 49ers offense. He was playing the tuba, okay? That's what he was doing. He was the tuba player, and you know what?
Tuba's
sometimes
cool.
It sounded horrible. Sometimes it sounded pretty good, and it was all working, all right? But he was not the conductor of said orchestra. I do believe Brock Purdy, within this offense, with the trust of his head coach, Kyle Shanahan, will be the conductor of the orchestra this season in San Francisco. He's been that in the past. And again, he keeps talking about playing within himself and not forcing it like he was doing last year. He felt, and this is the quote, again, you're referencing the Albert Breer article. He was referencing, you know, not being Superman. He felt like he had to be Superman a lot last year. He doesn't need to be Superman. All right. Can he be, I don't know, part of the Justice League, but he's not Superman. Green Lantern. You want to do that analogy? Sure. You could be Green Lantern. But again, that's talking about...
Can he be
about,
Iron Man?
Can he be Iron Man? That's
like that.
See, I like that more because Iron Man was still, you know, one of the leaders, right?
He made everyone look cool.
Again, Patrick Mahomes, you know, he couldn't be Superman. He had to be Superman last year for the Chiefs, and it wasn't enough. Like, one player can't do it all, and I think we noticed that last year. Even if Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson was the quarterback of the Niners last year, I don't think that's a playoff team. I don't. I do think they could maybe a win or two, maybe. But again,
but then you're an 8-win team and you're still not in the playoffs.
That defense, I don't care. Like, you saw Joe Burrow have one of the greatest offensive seasons ever last year, and they weren't a playoff team. Why? Because the defense sucked.
And Brock can't stop guys on defense. He doesn't play on that side of the ball.
Exactly. So that's kind of what I'm getting at here.
Okay.
Maybe I'm sounding like I'm contradicting myself. I'm not trying to.
Well, no, this is where
the way we talked about Jimmy is not how I'm viewing
it. It's the nuance of football that I think a lot of people, they get lost in that, in finding that. And yeah, I agree. It's not going to be as black and white with Jimmy. Also, the reason it's not going to be as black and white is because, you know, by and large, Jimmy was not locked in for the future. He did have that contract, but in 2021, where he had his career year, it still was. By the way, Jimmy's career year in 2021 was still worse than what Brock did last year. So Brock's, if that's Brock's floor,
thank you.
Brock's floor is Jimmy's ceiling. Like, that's a whole, like, that's why we are in so much of a better situation with the Niners than this team ever was with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback there. But no, I do think that does kind of add, just like, where am I trying to go on this? basically, yeah, it's...
Land the plane.
I'm going to land the plane right now. Based on what my thought was here, but no, sorry.
Sounds like you were from Austin in the Love is Blind, Love Island reunion. Love is Blind is back for the UK, though, by the way. But Sam, we're going to be joined by Baldy here in a second, and Baldy Breakdowns, he does it better than anyone else. Be locked in. If you have any questions you would like us to ask Baldy, by the way, I would love your participation on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, 888-957-9570. But I do think we've graduated is what we're trying to, as we're landing the plane here, we're trying to graduate from how we talk about the quarterback position.
There you go.
And maybe, or it's going to revert back to what it always reverts back to, is just, he wins, he loses, it's all his fault, or it's all the praise, or it's all the glory, and it's all the adoration, and all of that. Or, no, you suck, and we got to move off of this guy. And that's just what we do, and that's why we love football, and we're all a sucker for football, and we're addicted to the quarterback conversation. Because, and this is what we bring up, this is what I bring up with Bonte. And, you know, he joins us every single Friday, you know, for the entire hour he's in studio, you know, Bonte, Shasky, and myself, and this week it'll be Bonte, Lubman, and Spadoni. And, you know, this is what we're going to be talking about after week one. It's not going to be Brock Purdy versus the Seattle defense. It's not going to be Sam Darnold versus the Niners defense. It's going to be who looked better and who came out the winner. Mm-hmm. Was it Sam Darnold or was it Brock Purdy?
Do you think the way Brock Purdy wins games for the 49ers will matter this year as much for 49ers fans? Because I do think it still will, kind of. I think there's going to be an expectation of they want... Like, does Brock need to be the number one or number two reason why the Niners win games?
I think there's a segment within the fan base that wants to see him have come from behind victories when the team is down in the fourth quarter. I think there is a segment that says, can he do that? Can he overcome Shanahan's record? Kyle Shanahan's record, as we're going wins and losses, where his record is abysmal when they are losing heading into the fourth quarter. Like,
then goes to Shanahan, though?
Well, yes.
Because that's where, I mean, you say you trust Shanahan more than Brock there. Is that more of a Shanahan thing than a Brock thing?
It takes two to tango. It's a symbiotic relationship. You know what?
Shanahan can't throw the ball.
Well, exactly. Like, and it's always, and again, there's, I always kind of lean the player in this scenario, and I always go to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You know, and Tom Brady kind of showed the world why the player ultimately matters most than the coach. And I look at that when it comes to Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan. I think Brock is going to have the opportunity this year to kind of not have, like, you know, it's Kyle Shanahan and Brock still, but he could put his imprint on the offense. And what does that look like? Is it throwing from when you're behind and kind of putting the team on your back in a couple spots? I'm not asking him to do that all season long, Sam, but a couple games here or there, when you know what, the defense is kind of exhausted and they need you to carry them, that's what the quarterback does. That's what the highest paid player does. That's what Baker Mayfield did at times last year when he was out without Chris Godwin or Mike Evans or some of these big boys. You know, that's what Josh Allen had to do when he was without, you know, some high-named wide receivers. He had a rookie in Keon Coleman and Amari Cooper he was thrown to last year.
Mm-hmm. That,
you got to be able to carry an offense at his selective parts of the season. Can Brock Purdy do that at times? That's going to be a big question mark. I think a lot of Niner fans are still wondering if that could happen going forward. I think he can do it, but that it's not. I'm not saying that's the winning formula for the entire season, but certain parts of the season, he is going to need to do that. Because let's see.
Has there been a game where we could say, like, yeah, Brock Purdy was the guy who basically carried this team?
I mean, NFC Championship game.
That's a good one.
Right? Yeah. Like, I mean, the biggest game of the season up to that point in his career against the Detroit Lions. What were they down? 3 scores?
Mm-hmm. He did rally them back. That is, we love to discount that game, too, and how much that matters.
I mean, the game-winning drive against the Green Bay Packers the week before.
Yeah, and that was after
you got to win.
And that was awful after an awful start in that game, too. You almost threw a pick on his first throw, I think, and then he was that's why I really like, I look at the positives in that game. He got off to a terrible start against the Packers in that one, and then he flipped it around and ended up having a damn good playoff game and led the Niners to the Super Bowl, and yet, for some reason, we don't give him that much credit for that one.
You know who we give credit to each and every week? It's Brian Baldinger. It's Shark Week, baby. And he joins us here on the River Islands guest line. As all guests in 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Brian Baldinger joining the Morning Roast as he does each and every Tuesday at this time. Joe Spadoni alongside Sam Lubman. Baldy, good morning. We'll bring you right into the conversation we were just having. And it's kind of, you know, it's everyone's talking about right now, it's their quarterback, right? You're heading into the season. If you feel good about your quarterback situation, usually that means you could be a playoff team or a contender in the playoffs. I feel like you know, Brock Purdy, not that he slid under the radar, Baldy, but I feel like he just got paid. He's the highest paid player in the history of the franchise. We're all kind of set that Brock Purdy's the guy going forward. It's how we're judging Brock this season is what we're kind of talking about here and kind of having a hard time discussing is, you know, we wanted to make wins and losses a quarterback stat, right? But it's a team stat. It's a team game. But ultimately, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, these guys are just judged on wins and losses. I don't think those guys, you know, really care about their stats in regular season at this point. Is can we just stack wins? How are we going to be grading Brock Purdy this season, Baldy, I guess is my question. And again, good morning.
Well, good morning, Joe, Sam. Yeah, I mean, all these guys, when they get paid, they're judged differently. I mean, he was a great find for his first 3 or 4 years in this league. It was an amazing Mr. Irrelevant pick. How is he this good? And he's the seventh round pick. He's the last pick of the draft. How did everybody miss him? And that was the conversation. But then when you get paid into the upper echelon and you're getting paid like a top 10 quarterback, it does change. I mean, Joe Burrow can't play any better than he did last year, and they didn't qualify for the playoffs. Lamar Jackson had one of the most amazing years ever in the history of the NFL last year. And yet, you know, he couldn't win a big playoff game. You know, and on and on and on. These guys, you know, Peyton Manning was blistered his first 6 or 7 years in the league because of his lack of winning in the playoffs. They would say things like he couldn't win a national championship at Tennessee, but, you know, other guys did. And so until you start winning in the playoffs and getting to the playoffs, then you're never going to be talked about the way the money says you should be talked about.
Baldy, you know, look at what Brock went through last year. A lot of things went wrong. He lost a lot of guys, whether it was McCaffrey, Ayuk, Pierce all for a time. Trent Williams was out for a time. And he talked with Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated about how he feels like 24 kind of prepared him for what he's going to face this year. I'm just kind of curious, you know, when you think about what Brock went through last year with this team, how are the struggles that he dealt with, the absences he had to kind of play through, how will that make him a better quarterback going into this year?
Well, quarterbacks, look, you lose Ayuk to start the season, then during the season, and all the stuff you're talking about. McCaffrey is out, had 50 carries last year. Ultimately, the quarterback has to make the receiving core. If you go back and you look at Drew Brees, he threw touchdown passes to over 70 different receivers. So Tom Brady. Now, that's over an extended period of time. But there's names that you will never even remember that Drew Brees threw winning touchdown passes to. So whoever's playing wide receiver for the 49ers, it's up to the quarterback to get him the ball and to make him, you know, part of, you know, whether it's Juwan Jennings or Pearsall, whoever it might be. Like, it's up to the quarterback to be able to put the ball in the right spot. And the quarterback makes the receiving core, DeMarcus Robinson, whoever it might be. The quarterback makes the receiving core. It's not the other way around. And so it's up to Brock to be able to locate the open receiver, throw a guy open, thread the needle, you know, in a certain coverage in order to get the ball to the receiver. And if their guy can't catch it, then go find a new receiver. But it's up to the quarterback to get the receiver the ball, whoever the name on the back of the jersey is.
And we're talking about the wide receiver core, obviously, and the depth that is. And, you know, I'll get your thoughts on, you know, Amari Cooper. I guess the Niners were interested yesterday. He ends up signing with the Raiders. They miss out on that potentially. But I wanted to get, you know, your thoughts on the big acquisition last Friday. It kind of dropped the last part of our show. It was Brian Robinson Jr. getting traded. And now you got some depth behind Christian McCaffrey, where there was a lot of question marks. If Christian McCaffrey goes down, is it Garendo? Is it, you know, is it Jeff Wilson Jr. for God's sakes at that point? And hell, yeah, there's a big question mark around Christian McCaffrey himself if he can stay healthy this season. So who are the Niners getting, Baldy, and Brian Robinson Jr.? And did you like the move?
I like the move. You know, Brian Robinson is he averaged 4.3 yards a carry last year, which is good in any offense. He's a big back. He's 225 pounds. I like a big back. But he's not – I don't think he's an overly powerful back Like, there's some guys, like, I thought Jordan Mason was a powerful back. They've had guys here in San Francisco over the years that they've drafted late, and they've had a little bit of a role here and there. Now they're other places. You can't do this thing the way Saquon did last year and just give a guy 350 carries, and ultimately over 400 touches last year for Saquon. But you're just going to get worn down. And that's what has happened to McCaffrey on a couple of occasions in his career. But I like the move because he's a quality kid. He's a good teammate. You never have to worry about him, and he can tote the rock. So I like the move. And Washington didn't want to pay him, so he's in his last year of his deal. So they're going to get some value for him this year. It's probably a 1-year rental at this point. But I think he's better than what they have on the roster right now. And so, after McCaffrey, so I think it's an upgrade at this point.
Yeah, you mentioned McCaffrey there, Baldy, and I'm kind of curious. And we were kind of going over yesterday what the touch count could look like per game. Obviously, we know Kyle likes to hit those 30 rushes per game. That's always his goal there. So I'm kind of curious, how much does Brian Robinson kind of take away carries for Christian McCaffrey, which I think, that might be a good thing for him when you talk about avoiding the wear and tear. Is this a situation you see where just CMC will get kind of maybe less carries per game, but that will kind of help him stay more productive later on in the season?
Well, I mean, even 2 years ago, I was an advocate for cutting down the amount of carries that he was getting when he had a monster year, because I thought it was going to affect him eventually. And who knows, what happened last year, if that was a result, all the tendonitis and all the issues that he had with his legs. But, this 2017 draft, there's only two guys left that are still running the football. It's McCaffrey and it's Aaron Jones. There was a lot of guys drafted that year. Maybe Kamara too, but we've seen slowdowns in all these guys. I mean, there's just so many carries in anybody. And then if you add the way that McCaffrey, trains, which, I don't know if you're overtraining at certain points, but it feels like that's part of the issue. But I don't know. I don't know if Kyle knows yet. I don't know if McCaffrey knows. We got to put him out there against Seattle September 7th and see how he looks. If he's hitting the holes like he did 2 years ago, or if he hit them like he did last year where he was missing holes and looked a little apprehensive at times. I don't think anybody knows until he starts getting pounded and we see where the vision and the quickness and the power, because he was a powerful guy. Coming out of Stanford, he was powerful. We got to see what he looks like September 7th. I don't think anybody knows right now.
And then kind of back to Brian Robinson Jr. here and the role that he's going to play in this offense. Obviously, he'll be spelling Christian McCaffrey a little bit, but is there an opening maybe for Brian Robinson to kind of maybe fill the role that Deebo Samuel had at times last year, to kind of handle those jet sweeps, kind of handle some of those shorter routes that Deebo did a lot last year? Do you see that as kind of a potential avenue for Brian Robinson Jr. to contribute to the 49ers offense this year, along with just, being Christian McCaffrey's primary backup at running back?
I don't see it. I don't see that. I mean, he's not Deebo. He doesn't move like that. He doesn't catch like that. Like, I don't think that's going to be a role for Brian. I think that role that Deebo had was just unique. And so I don't see anybody in the roster, playing that type of role right now.
Talking with Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast, Sam Lovin in for Joe Shasky, Joe Spadoni alongside. And, I'm talking about this team, Baldy, and the Juwan Jennings thing. We almost made it a full season, off season, I should say, Baldy, with no drama. It would have been great. No holdouts, no hold-ins, whatever. Now we've come to a head here with Juwan Jennings, less than 2 weeks now to the start of the regular season. No deal is done. If they do get a deal done, though, let's say within this week or next week, I don't know how severe the calf injury is, if it's related to the hold-in or not, just his lack of training camp in general. Would you be okay with throwing him out there week one if they did sign Juwan either this week or next week? Just given what we saw with Ayuk last year and such a slow start with some of these guys and just the fitness level.
Well, I mean, 2 years ago, Nick Bosa held out until the Friday before the opener against Pittsburgh.
and sign his deal on Friday, and he had three sacks on Sunday. Everybody's different. You know, Nick came on the field and was the most dominant player, better than TJ. He was the best player on the field that day. And but that's Nick now, and, you know, I've seen him train in Fort Lauderdale. I don't know if there's many people that train like that. But anyways, so I don't know what Juwan's been doing. It's always a concern. It's always a concern when guys, because football, this isn't the designated hitter. You can't just put Aaron Judge in the middle of the lineup and let him go hit a home run. Football players need to play football. You need to condition the body. Like I'm a big advocate of that. Like, you need to go play football. You go out in the track. You could go, you know, run some of these. You can go run hills like some of these guys do. None of that is football. Like, you need to be hit. You need to be contacted. You need to, your eyes got to get fast. Your hands got to get fast. Like, all that stuff is important. So I don't know how comfortable I would be if he gets zero training camp and think that he's just going to go out there and be Juwan Jennings and just be dependable like he's been. Like, those guys are few and far between that can do that.
Well, it leads me to my next question is, you know, Amari Cooper signing with the Raiders yesterday. I guess reportedly the Niners were interested. You know, a lot of Niner fans are frustrated this morning because of the lack of depth at the wide receiver core. Obviously, we don't know when Ayuk's coming back, what level, the Juwan Jennings calf. You're going into the season with a red-shirted Ricky Pearsall basically as your number one. You know, should the Niners have maybe, you know, upped the ante a little bit more to bring in an Amari Cooper, Baldy?
I don't know. Like, how many teams is Amari on now? I mean, is it six? Like, he's going around the league. And he's a year here. He's in Cleveland. You know, he's in Dallas. Like, he's going all over the place. And Buffalo didn't seem to be in love with him. The thing that's interesting about Amari, he is a great route runner. And he's a very good receiver. I don't know where the speed is right now. It's very average at this point. But this is the part that gets frustrating, is he needs time to win his out. But he can win. You just have to be patient with him. And a lot of quarterbacks that I've watched, like, well, I've looked over there and he's not open, and now I'm moving on. And so he's a little bit difficult to work into the progression because he needs time to win. But he can win. He can separate. He can run a swirl route better than anybody in the league. But you got to be patient with it. Dak wasn't very patient with him. You know, Josh Allen wasn't very patient with him. We'll see what, you know, Geno looks like with the Raiders with him. So should they have upped the ante to get him? He can be a part of your offense, but it's a timing issue with the quarterback and how patient you're going to be with him.
Bally, I do kind of want to get back into Brock here a little bit. We've seen in the past the issues, and you've highlighted this before on this show, that he has his biggest issues when he tries to do too much at times and maybe force plays when they aren't there. And again, I mentioned this interview he did with Albert Breer where he even acknowledged that, where, you know, he kind of lost sight of trying to keep plays simple. Going into this year, what are some of the things that coaches can do to get a quarterback to kind of simplify the game and kind of be in a situation to where he doesn't feel like he has to force plays like he has in the past and just simplify every play that's out there and in a sense kind of maybe let the plays come to him and avoid kind of forcing it like he did last year?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's a fine line. You can't put a governor on these guys. You got to let them go play. He's got good instincts. His movement is really good. How he extends plays. You know, the thing that would help Brock Purdy more than anything is if the defense could actually take the ball away. Like, if you look at them, they turned it over 27. Like, you know, they were, what were they, minus 15 in turnover ratio? It'd be nice to, like, this would be nice if the defense could get the ball at the 35-yard line. Kyle said, let's go to the jugular. Let's get the ball at the 35. Let's go on there and take a shot play right away. And let's put 7 on the board and turn this game around. Like, that hardly ever happened last year. Special teams put him in a deep hole a lot. Like, it'd be good if the defense took the ball away. That would help Brock Purdy more than anything. Yeah, get him extra at-bats. Get him good field position. Special teams, get him good field position. Those are the things that could help Brock Purdy out more than saying, okay, well, maybe I tried to do too much. That's just Brock answering a question. Like, I'm not picking on Albert Breer. But, like, you can't just go and say, man, let know when the play's over. Get rid of the ball. Like, it's just too hard to say that series to series to series. Brock has great instincts, and he sees the field exceptionally well. And he throws the ball with good touch, and he knows how to layer throws in the middle of the field that Kyle demands. Like, I think he does everything at a really good level. Let him just keep playing. Like, it could help if the team around him was better. That would help Brock more than anything.
Well, I think one of the guys who's definitely going to be helping Brock out a lot this year is George Kittle, and it's looking like he's going to be their, in a sense, wide receiver one for the 49ers this year. Is that a good situation for the Niners to be in if George Kittle is going to be their basically number one pass catcher this year?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, Travis Kelce was that guy, you know, for a long time. Evan Ingram was 1 year in Jacksonville. I mean, you can see it. You can move tight ends around and put them in position to be the number one. You could call plays where the tight end's the number one option. And, you know, judging by how teams are probably going to cover George, he's more than capable of winning those routes. He would love to get targeted 10, 12 times a game, I'm sure. So, you know, Kyle can make he can create game plans where that happens. But I'd like to see what Ricky Pearsall could do. I mean, like I said before, like when Pearsall came out, like he was right there with Ladd McConkey. And Ladd was that guy last year as a rookie, you know, with the Chargers. I want to see what Ricky does as the full-time guy, because I think he's a good route runner. I think he's got good hands, body control, all the stuff that you need. So I'm not ready to say that Ricky Pearsall can't be that guy either.
All right, Baldy, one more for you. And you thought you were getting rid of this interview without a kicker question, but I'm so sorry. I have to ask about the kicker, Jake Moody. And Baldy, this is the final preseason game at home at Levi's Stadium. And him just coming out, and it was a missed extra point, and the guy's getting booed. Is there anything he could do to earn the trust back in the fan base? Because you could say he can make all the kicks he wants to. Like, I'm convinced, Baldy, Moody could make all of his kicks all the way through, halfway through the season. He's perfect, right? And he misses one against Team X, and the fan base is immediately turning on him. It's that toxic right now.
I agree. Look, I mean, he was 10 for 20. 10 for 20 from 40 yards out last year. Like, that's just not acceptable. It's almost, you almost wonder why he's even still there. Unless they just see something in practice that we aren't allowed to see or haven't seen, where he's just so good, like he should be better. But when you're 10 for 20 from 40 yards out, like usually those guys are, you know, they're finding a second job in this business, because we're seeing kickers kick, make field goals from 70 right now. We're seeing guys, you know, Aubrey and Dallas can make one from, you know, from 60 yards, he's almost automatic. I mean, you just have to be better. And so you miss an extra point. I don't blame the fans for getting on him at that point. And yes, the situation is toxic. He just better be really good game day, that's for sure.
Hey, Baldy, we greatly appreciate it. Yeah, kicker is one of the main concerns, right? For the 49ers heading in the season. So I can't wait to monitor that all year long. We'll be very rational, of course, about it. Baldy, good stuff. We'll do it again next week, man.
Well, you know, you can make a kick or you can't. And when you can't make a kick, you're on a bus stop going someplace else. That's just the nature of the business for any kicker. They know it.
Hey, Baldy, you ever attempted a kick in your career? You ever attempted one?
No, I never.
It's not easy, Baldy.
I don't know if I would be. I think I would actually. I don't think I would be a soccer-style kicker, though, if I did. I think I'd be Fred Cox. I'd kick Rick Dempsey. I'd be kicking straight ahead.
Oh, no, you could be Ronaldo or Lionel Messi. Well, he's our Leo Messi here at 95.7 The Game. It's our Brian Baldinger. Baldy, good stuff, man.
Thank you, Baldy. Very much appreciate it.
Okay. Yep, you got it. Okay, Sam.
There he goes. Brian Baldinger, courtesy of River Islands, which leads us now to the injury report. I'm just picturing Baldy just attempting a kick in general, and it's laughable. It's a large human being. I think he could do it, though. The Giants have a potential injury worth keeping an eye on. Unfortunately, closer Randy Rodriguez was not available in the Giants' 4-3 win on Sunday due to arm soreness, which is why Ryan Walker got the save that day. Rodriguez is still the Giants' closer, but right now should be considered day-to-day heading into this series that starts tonight against the Cubbies. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Baldy said something in that interview that got my ears standing up. It's got me a little bit concerned. I'll explain on the other side, and it's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.